This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
You're listening to the Vince Quinn Show, weekend overnights on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh yeah, baby, coming in hotter than stock at GameStop. It is the Vince Quinn Show. We're back, baby! And God, what a night! What a night to be in! Because you get a trade, just a massive monster deal here, where Matthew Stafford is shipped over to the Rams. And man, this happened quick. You see Dan Campbell comes out, head coach of the Lions. He's got a quote in an article where he's like, yeah, the talks are hot and heavy. And it's like, with Dan Campbell, I have no idea what that really means. The guy's a cannibal. But, you know, it was hot and it was heavy. So we got this big deal. There's a lot to dissect there. We'll figure out what Dogecoin is, maybe. We'll just get all the current events in. Here's a fun one for you, Graceffo. This is fun. I had my first bris this week. It wasn't for me.
It's a good thing that it wasn't for you.
It wasn't for me. It'd be a little late for me. But I attended a bris for the first time, kind of, you know, it was
now
virtually.
There might be some listeners out there that don't know what that is.
Yes. Google it, but don't do an image search.
You're not gonna explain it on the air what it is?
We'll talk about it. We'll get there. We got 4 hours.
You gotta
hours.
Be a little delicate when you explain what that is.
Well, you gotta be delicate with the whole thing in general.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Well, maybe it's not so delicate.
No, that's delicate.
That's why I was horrified. It was a traumatic experience.
Could you imagine having that done to you at an advanced age?
No. I don't know if you... Do they do that? Does that happen?
I don't know.
This is how we're going to start the show. Let us know. If you're an adult that has gone through a bris, I don't think they do this, but if you've converted at an older age, do they do a bris for an older person? 855-212-4227. We're off to a great start.
Really don't want to think about that.
No pictures, please. Let's do this. Let's talk about the deal here, right? Because there's so many different things when you're talking about quarterbacks getting traded like this. There's so many different elements to these deals to get into for each team, what it means for the league. There's the Deshaun Watson element, of course, and what does this mean for him? What does his value look like? So let's start going through all of the big, confusing, crazy mess that is Matthew Stafford getting swapped for Jared Goff. And here's the first thing that I really take away from this. Is this is a hell of an indictment on Jared Goff, okay? This is a bad look because you have to think of the circumstances around this. And for a franchise to give up on a quarterback that's younger, that has gotten them to a Super Bowl, that they did give a big contract to recently, for them to give away this guy and for the way that they did it. Because you look at the package and you might say, well, Matthew Stafford for Jared Goff. Okay, Stafford's probably better than Goff. I don't know if that's such a great deal, but they want to get rid of Jared Goff. Fine. But here's the thing. It's not just Matthew Stafford for Jared Goff. There's a third-round pick this year. There's a first-round pick from the Rams next year. There's a first-round pick from the Rams the year after that. Because the Rams live in some world where first-round picks are not valuable or useful, or something they're interested in. So they said, yeah, you know, this is the Dodge coin. There we go. See, now we're really working it in. This is the Dodge coin of draft stock, and we're going to move it. And that's the thing. The Rams had to add all of these draft picks in to get rid of Jared Goff. It's not just throwing all of this in to get Stafford. It's not that Stafford is so overwhelmingly good that he's worth a third and two first-round picks, but Jared Goff, with his contract, is somebody that is not all that valuable. And so you're not just paying for Stafford. You're paying the Lions to take Jared Goff off of your hands, which doesn't happen often. We don't see these kinds of deals, especially a quarterback in the NFL. The last time this happened was, what, Brock Osweiler, which not exactly a success story. So looking at Jared Goff here, for the Rams to do that, and here's the thing, that guy, think about this, Jared Goff just a couple of weeks ago, what was it, like 3 weeks ago? He won a playoff game against the Seattle Seahawks with a broken thumb. He wasn't even, he had surgery on it. He wasn't supposed to, he was the backup in that game. He came in because the backup got hurt in the first couple of plays, John Wolford, and Goff comes in and he's not supposed to play, but he beats Seattle. They win 30-20. It's a nice story. You know, it's a big game. It's a big win. So that guy, just a couple of weeks later, they're paying another team to take him off of their hands. So that's a massive indictment. You've also got just the idea that organizations don't like giving up on quarterbacks, even when they're not great. Kirk Cousins was getting towards the end of his deal. How great is Kirk Cousins, right? Is he an amazing quarterback? Is he somebody you could move on from? Yeah, absolutely. You could totally move on from Kirk Cousins. Well, the Vikings didn't move on from Kirk Cousins. They decided to keep that guy. Because even if he's not amazing, if you're letting a decent quarterback go, you don't always believe that you're going to be able to replace that. But the Rams were like, yeah, let's just give up everything. Let's just give up a bunch of stuff, and let's go and get Matthew Stafford. So for Sean McVay, yeah, the guy who, you know, offensive mastermind or not, however you want to look at him, I think he's a pretty damn good coach. You look at Sean McVay, and for him to look at Goff and the guy that he's been paired with, it's his first head coaching gig. This is the first quarterback he's with. It's a marriage, right? Oh, what a lovely marriage. And then it falls apart pretty quickly, and now he's out of town. That's an indictment, right? So looking at the value of Jared Goff, and here's the interesting thing. It just seems to confirm what everybody's really felt about Jared Goff. Sometimes there's conversations that we have as fans, right? For people that watch the game, follow the game, obsess about the game. And the way we talk about it and look at it is going to be different sometimes than the league, than insiders. You know, they value the player differently for whatever reason. There might be a disconnect between what we see on the outside and what people see within the league. This was a pretty strong indictment that we're all on the same page here. Jared Goff just isn't that good. And here's the other thing. We'll get to this more a little bit later, but I don't see him getting any better in Detroit. So if you're a Lions fan, and by the way, if you're a Lions fan or Rams fan, like especially, and I'll take calls from anybody if you want to get in and talk about this, but I would love to hear from some Lions and Rams fans about this. I mean, how do you feel about these moves? 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show. 855-212-4227. Because again, the number one thing I've got from this is it's an indictment on Jared Goff. And part of it is, it's not just that McVay's giving up on him, that they're doing it as the contract is kicking in, that they're paying things to get rid of him. But also, Jared Goff is what the problem is, really, and it's weird that it worked out this way, but The problem was the Super Bowl. Jared Goff getting to the Super Bowl and getting crushed the way he did. I mean, how bad was that Super Bowl? Right? That was the first time in my life. Like, there's been games where it's been a blowout and it hasn't been super entertaining, but you had moments. And as the score is getting run up, like the Seahawks dominated the Broncos like 8 years ago, and that was fun for a half. That Super Bowl was awful. And part of it was Goff was just shaky. He's up and down. You don't know exactly what you're going to get. For a guy that's supposed to be the system quarterback, you want stability. You want consistency. You want reliability. When this guy's going to start, you want to go, at least I have an idea, even if he's not amazing, right? There's a lot of conversation around Jimmy Garoppolo. How good is Jimmy Garoppolo? Is he great? Should San Francisco hold on to him? They don't know. Options are open. Maybe he does get dealt. But for all the knocks on Jimmy Garoppolo of what his limited ceiling is, you know that's what you're going to get when he plays. There's reliability. Even if it's not amazing, it's reliable. It's consistent. Goff doesn't have that. And so for the Rams to go and move off of Jared Goff, I totally get why they did it. Now, they overpaid to do that because the contract is so bad and they got themselves in that hole. But this is the kind of thing that you have to do now to try to win. And so I respect that they're going for it. And that's the thing here, right, is looking at the other side of the equation. For Goff here and what he's going to be and what this means and where he's going, it's not a good look. But for the Rams, now that they got him out of town and they brought in Stafford, way better. I mean, stock up for the Rams, right? That's a nice hot take, regular sports talk thing. Stock up, baby! Let's put that stock up on the Rams. And now that Matthew Stafford is the quarterback of that team, they're a Super Bowl contender. Because here's the thing. We talk about Sean McVay a lot. He is, you can argue, the face of the franchise. Even with Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey and, I don't know, like Cooper Kupp is, I don't know, Cooper Kupp's definitely not on that level. But you get what I'm saying. There's guys that you know from the Rams, but Sean McVay really is the face of that team. That's who everybody knows. That's who everybody thinks of when they think of the Rams first. And for them to go and upgrade at the quarterback spot, I mean, it's not too shocking here, but they've been, you know, the offense has been the weaker part of the team. Defense was what it was all about this year. Their defense was great. That's what kept them in this season. Their offense was like 22nd in the league in scoring. You don't expect that because it's the Rams and they made the playoffs and they won a game and scored 30 points doing it. So you'd figure, oh, well, it's the Rams. They put up a lot of points. That's what they do with Sean McVay. That's not what they did this year. Last year, that's not really what they did either because in a similar mess, they gave a big contract to Todd Gurley. They didn't feel comfortable in his health. He fell off at the end of the season when they went to the Super Bowl. Then they had to reconfigure things. So they trade, they eat money to get rid of Todd Gurley. They have to reconfigure the offense. They're not so good in 2019. 2020, it's not so good. It's the defense. So now you're getting Matthew Stafford and the offensive weapons that they have. You're pairing it with this defense. And you go, all right, yeah, this is a Super Bowl team. It's not the favorite. You know, who's better right now on paper? I'll take the Green Bay Packers. I'll easily do that. Right now, you have to go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, right? It pains me to say that, but you have to. So the Bucs are going to be above them. But outside of that, San Francisco, okay, maybe. San Francisco if they're healthy. But they're better than Seattle. I'll absolutely take them over Seattle. I'll take them over anybody in the NFC East. I'll take them over the Saints. I'll take them over a lot of different teams. This team, the Rams, right now that Matthew Stafford is going to be a part of the team, and I guess I should put a technical asterisk on this in the way that it's not official. You know, I know you might be asking, like, Vince, how are they executing a trade when the Super Bowl is in a week? Like, they just can't do trades right now. Well, they technically can't. But they've come to an agreement in principle, and so now that they have this a gentleman's agreement, if you will, they'll execute it first day of the league year, and that's when the trade will be official. But the trade is done. By all intents and purposes, the trade is done. or there's going to be hell to pay. And let me tell you, good sports talk radio if the trade falls through. So looking at the Rams right now, this is a contender to me. I'm buying the Rams stock right now, right? It looks good. They made the right move here. So, well, at least to me, they made the right move. Was this worth it? Did they pay too much to get him Matthew Stafford? Was he worth it? Are you worried about how good he's going to be with the Rams? Do you think he gets any better? Should the Rams not have given up on Goff? What do you think? 855-212-4227. James Graceffo, producing the show.
Hi, Vince. How are you?
Oh, there we go. Bright and smiley and bubbly as always. Yeah. That's a funny story. I was getting ready to do the show, and I walk in the room, and I go, Graceffo, let's do some radio, baby. Let's have a good show. And he just goes, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. The energy is coursing through you tonight.
As always.
Yes. How do you feel about the trade?
I really believe this is a massive overpay if you're the Rams. For a guy who's 33, never won a playoff game, was on the injury report every week this year, the year before this, missed the first time he's ever missed, like, substantial amount of time he's ever missed last year. It just seems like you said, we're going to trade a pick for Matt Stafford, a one, and we're basically going to give the Lions another pick to take Jared Goff off our hands, which they had to do. It stinks of a Brock Osweiler kind of trade. That's what it is.
Yeah.
The treatment of Jared Goff here is just, I don't want to call it, you know, insane, but it is insane in a way. I mean, to think, like, you know, this guy got you to a Super Bowl, or I guess it was just Sean McVay throwing the football, I don't know. Went out, performed with a broken thumb, won a playoff game on the road with a broken thumb. And by the way, they love telling us how John Wolford opens up things for us, like a read option, and he can move with his feet, and he can move, you know, in and out of the pocket. You see Matt Stafford running any read options with the line with the Rams?
No.
Do you see Matt Stafford doing any of that?
No, there's
no
chance.
So for this newfangled offense that Sean McVay wanted to run with John Wolford, and he gets Matt Stafford in the building, they're not going to be doing any of that.
Well, no, but he's also, it's a limited guy. He's got his legs.
This is a desperation move by a team that their window is closing every year because they've paid out massive contracts to Aaron Donald. They've paid out a massive contract to Jalen Ramsey. They paid out a massive contract to a guy who ain't even here anymore in Todd Gurley. They have lit first-round picks on fire for the past 7 years. They're going to go on 7 years without a first-round pick.
It's crazy.
So you tell me if it doesn't stink of desperation for a team with a new stadium in a new market trying to win a Super Bowl the best they can because they obviously have no other recourse.
Well, yeah, no, that's part of it. And here's the crazy thing about it, too, is as much as they paid a lot, Matthew Stafford, his contract, is less than Jared Goff's. He's actually cheaper. So if the salary cap is going down this year, which is the expectation, and they're in a bit of a cap crunch, that helps. Like, that's going to be one of those things because he's here for 2 years. I say here as if, one, I'm in L.A., which I'm not, and two, as if I'm a fan of specifically of the Rams, which I'm not. But you look at it, and yeah, he's going to be there for 2 years. They're going to have some opportunities to reduce some money, max out the prime of Aaron Donald, having Jalen Ramsey in his prime and healthy. This is what they should do. They've backed themselves into a corner and limited their window a little bit long term, but their window right now, their ceiling right now, is pretty good. So for the Rams, it might be an overpay, but if you're getting the quarterback, that's enough. So here's what I want to do next is we got some people calling in from Detroit. I'd love to hear the perspective of Lions fans. That's so interesting to me because this is a big move. And what does it say about the franchise and the direction that they're going in? Is it a bit of a half measure? We can get into all of that. And I'd love to hear from some Rams fans. So 855-212-4227. Or if you just want to talk quarterback. I mean, hell, if you just think it's interesting and want to join the show, I'm not going to stop you. So just have a good point and let's talk. 855-212-4227. I'm Vince Quinn. You can always join the show on Twitter at It's Vince Quinn. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. With every score change during Super Bowl 55, someone wins $50,000 in the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Squares sweepstakes. See the rules and enter for free at rocketmortgagesquares.com. And when we come back, let's really look into how much better Matthew Stafford is going to be. That's next.
You're listening to the Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to the Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio.
So, this is great. Thinking about this Jared Goff, Matthew Stafford trade and what it means for the Rams and all the picks, because that's one of the things. And Graceffo's been making this point to his credit about the Rams and the desperation of this and how it's been born in part because they've just given out big contracts and made dramatic trades, and they've done this regularly. And you think of the different guys that they've been involved with. So Jalen Ramsey, that was a big trade, multiple first-round picks. You had a Brandon Cooks trade previously that involved a first-round pick. And here's the other thing, is not just the trade they made tonight to offload Jared Goff, but the trade that they made to get him. The trade they made to get Jared Goff, because, my God, it's been so long ago, it feels like at least. When they traded up to get Goff, because that's the thing, they moved up to get him, they were at 15. So they moved up from 15 to 1 to get Goff in the first place at number 1 overall. So they gave up their 15th pick in that draft. They gave up 2 second-round picks in 2016, a third-round pick in 2016. They gave up a first-round pick in 2017, and a third-round pick in 2017. So 3, 4, 5, 6 picks. They gave up 6 picks and got 3 back that were not nearly close in value to get Jared Goff. So they were giving up picks then, regime changes, all this different stuff. They're still giving away picks like crazy.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
Yeah, and it might. It might. I'm not banking on, I'm not saying run, you know, place your bets now, but they're a contender.
Dude. This is the toughest division in football. They just got 6 years older at the quarterback position.
Okay, but how much better did they
Granted,
get?
Granted, they're better. How much better are they really?
It's better enough, I think. Because with the defense, it's better enough. They don't have to be the best offensive team in the league. Can Stafford run a top 12 offense? Top 10 with Sean McVay? Yeah.
And you want to lean on the defense again when it's been shown in this league that, you know, you can't win a title leaning on defense anymore.
Well, no, you can. You've just got to be elite at it. And right now, that is a top
of the line
defense.
You got to be 2000 Ravens. Are they 2000 Ravens? No.
Well, no, but can they be 2011 or whatever it was Seahawks? I mean, could they? Like, that's the thing. If you're, that's the main thing that I like to see out of a team.
You got to be elite
on one side of the ball.
The way the game is played now, if you're going to lean on the defense, when every rule is dictated toward the offense, and every play you have to pause after a team has made a stop on third down and say, oh, is there some yellow on the field? If you're going to lean on your defense, try to win. And they did this by accident. They're leaning on the defense by accident because They think that their offense is so great that they could plug anybody into it and they're going to have success. Obviously, they were wrong. So
well, it's backfired.
Right. Tremendously. And they've just continued to light first-round picks on fire. So let's just keep doing this. And there's a big inferno of first-round picks that you could have had, and you haven't had a first-round pick in 7 years, which is amazing. That's just so utterly amazing that they haven't had a first-round pick in 7 years, and they said, we're here ready to win. I guess we're going to go win.
Well, yeah, by the time this is over, I guess it will be, because 2016 was their last. That was their last first round pick, right? And they're not going to have a first rounder now until I don't know. I
mean, never.
So yeah, because they don't have it this year, right? That was going to the
Jalen
Ramsey
trade. No, it's going to Jacksonville.
Yeah, God, Jacksonville is living a good life right now. Cat draft picks, salary cap space.
Should have been my life.
Number one pick. Yeah, I know. Someone's a little jealous. It's a jealous Jets fan over there. So 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show. And we're talking a little bit about this trade with Stafford and Goff and where these teams look now. And looking at the Lions, here's the thing, is you get the picks and you get Jared Goff. And when you pile the package all together, it looks pretty good. Full rundown of it, just for those of you that don't know the details. And, I mean, this thing just broke a couple of hours ago. So, Jared Goff is going to Detroit. He goes with the third-round pick from the Rams this year, the Rams' first-round pick next year, and the Rams' first-round pick in 2023. So, to get all of that in return for Matthew Stafford, that's a lot. That's a lot. It feels pretty good. Jared Goff, a starting quarterback that's been to the Super Bowl, right? So you go, well, that's pretty good. But is it really good? And that's the thing. On the surface, I felt it too. I was like, hey, this is a pretty good return. But the more I'm sitting here and looking at it, the Rams or the Lions, they'd be better off without Jared Goff. Really? I think they would be better off without him. And think about this. The reporting around the deal now is that there was anywhere from, depending on who you read, there was anywhere between 6 to 8 different teams that were in on Stafford. And not just in on him, but offering first round picks as well. So who knows what the full package is for all those teams are. But if you've got 8 teams that are throwing in a first rounder for Stafford, you got options. You could play the long game here a little bit more. They saw this deal, and they went for it. I don't blame them, but would they be better off just outright bottoming out? Just taking the picks, right? I mean, think of the world that we live in. It's tanking! Tanking is the way of the world. This is where it's gone. This is where it's going. You're not putting the, you know, toothpaste back in the tube. I hate saying that phrase, but you know what? It fit there, so be it. So now that you've got this, what's Jared Goff going to get you? 5 wins, 6 wins? That's where you've been. Is it worth to have that? I guess if you're getting the picks, but you got to hit the picks. I would rather just get the picks and have the cap space and start over. Even if I got maybe 1 pick less. If it was, I don't know. Is it worth getting 1 first rounder and having all the cap space or having 2 first rounders? Because here's the other thing, and this is an interesting element of this year. With the salary cap going down and teams not being prepared for that, there's going to be a lot of talent on the market that typically would not be. And your ability to get those players for cheap will be better. So the value of $25 million or so, pretty good this year. If you've got money to spend, you're going to have a lot of affordable, quality options on the free agent market. Once the season's over, as we get towards free agency, it's just where it's going. All the projections are there's going to be a bloodbath in terms of guys that get cut. Teams can't afford it. They've expected the salary cap to go up every single year. So if you're the Lions, are you better off with Jared Goff or not? Should they have taken a different deal? Should they have gone for just picks? Because it feels good to have Jared Goff. It's nice. You're giving up a quarterback. You had a quarterback. Now you got somebody you can say as a starting quarterback. He's a bridge guy. Do you draft somebody still? 6th pick in the draft. Trey Lance is there. Do you do it? 855-212-4227. I would do it. 855-212-4227. Let's go to Rich in California. Rich, what's going on?
Hey, thanks for letting me on. I'm really liking the show.
Yeah, thanks.
You're welcome. My 2-bit sense is I've always really liked Stafford. I don't even want to talk about Detroit, really, because I don't even know what to say about him. I'm an old guy, and they've been bad my whole life. But as far as L.A., it seems like I don't remember in a long time a team. I mean, it's nice if Walmart owns you, but I don't remember a team throwing money like the Rams have the last few years. And I hear a lot of bashing of them, basically. But it seems like over the last 3-4 years, there's been stretches each season where they're like play as good as anybody, with maybe the exception of Kansas City. So to add Stafford, I see why they gave up the picks. I mean, because without a good quarterback, you're not going to win. You see, look who's in the Super Bowl again this year. But so you're not going to win without a quarterback. And the odds of getting someone better than Stafford, you know, it's hard unless you draft. You know, how are you going to get one of those guys? So all that being said, I won't be surprised at all if the Rams are, you know, one of the top two teams next year. You know, so anyway, that's all I got, brother. I'm going to keep listening.
Yeah, hey, well, Rich, I appreciate it, man. And that's the thing. You look at it right now, they're legitimate as you're projecting next season. There's a lot of stuff there's a lot of stuff. We haven't even finished this season yet. So projecting next year's Super Bowl winner or who's going to be at the top of the NFC, we're reaching a little bit, all right? I don't have a crystal ball, and if I did, it doesn't actually see the future. What's wrong with you? You still believe the crystal ball's going to look into the future? Are you out of your mind? Anyway, maybe I'm out of my mind. I can see the Rams being a legitimate contender next year. This puts them there. Matthew Stafford is that good. The Rams have been that good. They've got talent. Aaron Donald is, in terms of talent, he's not a quarterback, so nobody's going to call him the MVP. But you can say that he's the best player in the league, and people get that, right? It's Patrick Mahomes and then Aaron Donald. You can make that case. So if you've got him and Jalen Ramsey, who's one of the best players in the league, and now you've got Stafford, and you can make some things happen, you got chances. So they did the right thing here. Did the Lions. Let's go to John in Detroit. John, you're on CBS Sports Radio. What's up?
Hey, not too much. Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
First off, hit the ground running. L.A., this might be a little bumpy because the thing is, when Matt Stafford really goes into a deep passing vertical attack, his interceptions go up to an unsustainable rate. When you bring the interceptions down, you take away his biggest asset, which is the cannon, by putting him into an intermediate and short passing game. Now, if there is a coach in the league who can get the most out of Stafford, he just went to work with the guy. So it could end up working out for LA. But moving on to the Detroit end of the deal, Why is everybody so convinced that Jared Goff has to stay here? Because number one, if there were 8 or 9 teams willing to give up a first-round pick and more for Stafford, is it that unreasonable to think that maybe at least one of them would give up, I don't know, a 4th-round pick for Jared Goff? And secondly, okay, even if they, and if nobody's willing to do that, you're trying to be bad this year. This should be a rebuild. The last GM and coach combination you had, just to run over a few of their highlights, drafted Jared Davis in the 1st round. They took Keith Tabor in the 2nd round, a man so slow his nickname was the Snail. He's a defensive back.
Yeah.
They signed Justin Coleman to an overvalued contract. They signed Jamie Collins to an overvalued contract. Trey Flowers, probably a little overpaid. This whole team needs to be torn down. So even if the only option is to cut Goff, what's the problem with the cap hit this year? You're trying to be bad. The last thing you want to be is the Jets, where you have a chance to control your destiny and you're just good enough to win that extra game and cost yourself draft position. But going back to what I'd originally said is, why does nobody think that Goff could be traded again?
Well, yeah, and John, that's a great point. The thing is, I got to run. I got a hard out here, so I got to let you go.
I appreciate the time. Have a good night.
You too. So, yeah, the idea that maybe Goff gets traded again, maybe. I'd like to see. It's fun. It's fun, but I would figure the odds are that he's going to stay. Part of it being, if you're an owner and you're giving up a franchise quarterback and you want butts in the seats, well, Goff is a name you can sell. I don't know how many people are buying it, but some people will buy the Jared Goff experience. So that's part of the equation. Now, 855-212-4227, that's how you join. I'm Vince Quinn on CBS Sports Radio. Let's talk about Deshaun Watson next. Keep it here.
You're listening to The Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio. listening to The Vince Quinn Show, weekend overnights on CBS Sports Radio.
So Stafford is out. He's traded for Jared Goff. What does it mean for Deshaun Watson? What does it mean? Because look at Houston. Houston's a mess. And you had, my goodness, you have a coaching search that turns up a guy that nobody knew existed. He was the Baltimore Ravens wide receivers coach. How good are the Baltimore Ravens wide receivers? How good are they? That blew me away. I was like, oh, he's been in the league for forever. Fine. What's he doing right now? Is he a hot name right now? Like, this is the guy that you picked?
Want to hear something funny?
Yeah, I would love to.
Do you remember the year where the Chiefs didn't score a touchdown from wide receivers?
Yes!
Yeah, he was on that staff.
That's
awesome. He was the guy.
There we go. Yeah, no, hire him. That's it. That's what you need. See, that is the Jack Easterby effect, right? That's what this is. It's a takeover. It's a complete takeover. You've got a guy that was running prayer services for football teams like 5 years ago. Now he's calling the shots. He brings in a GM that is going to work for him, that he's got the loyalty to him. Now they bring in a coach that nobody had any idea, that had no thought whatsoever that this guy would get a head coaching gig, and here he is. It's similar to the Eagles, actually. The Eagles hired a guy where not exactly what anybody expected. Maybe he's a good hire, maybe he's not. But the hire's made with some level of intent that management is going to control everything. And it's more about management than it is about the coach or having some sort of close to 50-50 split, 55-45, 60-40. It's not about that. It's about management. That's what it looks like. That's what it feels like. So you look at Houston, you go, uh-oh, this isn't looking great. So the Texans are a mess, an absolute mess. And as it's dragged on, and as they made the announcement of who their head coach was going to be, well, things got so much better. Because Adam Schefter confirms that, yes, Deshaun Watson does want out of town, and there's no head coaching hire, and especially the one that they made, just the one they made, was definitely not going to keep Watson in town. So we're off to a rip-roaring start, and it just becomes very strange, this situation in Houston. It gets stranger by the day. As they have the press conference to introduce the new head coach, they mention the idea that, yeah, Deshaun Watson, we want to keep him. We have interest in maintaining the player. And it's a weird thing to call. Whenever somebody in management calls a player the player, it's a weird way, and I don't know why they do this. I don't know when it started either. I feel like it started in the last, 5 years. But GMs and owners and coaches, when they're trying to get rid of a guy and downplay a situation, they decide to change how they reference him and call him the player, which highlights a weird change in tone and that things are not good.
Doesn't get any better than that.
No, it can certainly get better than that. All of it could get better than that. That's the problem in Houston.
Well, I'm just telling you who it started with. It started with that guy.
Well,
it started with Mr. Belichick, where he decided, I don't have to call anybody by their first name.
Yeah. No, he's a part of it. And that's the thing. Nick Caserio, GM now for Houston, from New England. He's got the player vibe. He's a the player guy. So Deshaun Watson called the player. It's a very small thing, but it's just a weird thing. It just sends the sensor tingling a little bit. Like, hey, something is worse than it looks. And then, and this one, I love this, by the way. This is the funniest part of the whole thing to me with Deshaun Watson. It's not so bad that he's asking for a trade. It's rumored for weeks that he wants to get a trade. And then it's confirmed by Adam Schefter that he does want to trade, and he did make a formal request, and he did that weeks ago, and he really absolutely wants to get out of town. But the nail in the coffin, and really, let's be honest, the most important thing in all of this, he changed his Instagram. Changed his Instagram. You can't do that. That's a death sentence. Changing the Instagram. I mean, Adam Schefter reports are, I mean, sure, they're valuable. He's the most plugged-in reporter in the game. But who needs reports from Adam Schefter? I mean, how valuable is Adam Schefter saying that Deshaun Watson factually wants out of Houston, the coaching search hasn't changed anything, when he doesn't have the Texans in his Instagram bio.
Boy,
I mean, that's... Woo.
That escalated quickly.
Yeah, that's a five-alarm fire right there. It's not on Instagram. How funny is that? Honestly, Graceffa, like, that's hilarious to me. I think that's funny that people worry about that so much. It's like, it doesn't say something,
well,
sure.
But...
Yeah.
There's a worry, and then there's a five-alarm fire, like you just said. I mean, this is the playbook of, you know, Jamal Adams, Jalen Ramsey, name the NBA star that wants to leave their town. This is what they do. It starts out like, you know, they slowly leak it to people that they trust, and then their friends, the people that they trust, their friends, slowly leak it to on social media, and they slowly leak it to, you know, beat reporters of teams that might be interested, like you got last week with the Jets are the favorite. And then they change their social media profile to remove any instance of, this is where I play, this is where I live, this is where this is my community, these are my teammates. What do you think is next? Past history
question.
Would tell us that whatever is next is worse, because that's what happens here.
So you're worried about the continued progression here.
Well, wouldn't you be if you were the Texans?
I don't know what else he does. It's going to be public
how
statements.
About you,
is he Jalen
how
Ramsey
about
showing
you,
up the Brinks truck?
You go. No, I mean, that was
funny. Yeah, because
that was
great.
But
that
what Jalen so Ramsey great. Did is basically push Doug Marrone on camera on the sideline for everybody to see it. That's what he did. We all saw it. What Jamal Adams did was, you know, basically tell everybody, I want to play for the Cowboys. And then a couple weeks later said, you know, Adam Gase is the biggest idiot I've ever met. I mean, what do you think is next? What do you think is coming? You don't think Deshaun Watson's going to, you know, be seen somewhere on, you know, whenever we can go outside again? I mean, I'm sure Deshaun Watson can go outside and has been seen. I mean, he was in Brooklyn not that long ago. So what do you think the chances are someone finds him with a camera and says, hey, Deshaun, what do you think about, you know, your situation? He might not say anything, but somebody else around him might.
Okay, well, now you're hitting an interesting chord, because we're talking about a guy in Houston that is a, you know, unsatisfied with his team, that traveled to Brooklyn. Maybe he starts partying. Maybe he's just like, you know, I'm just going to start going to the clubs, violating protocols. He's just going to...
We just saw this a week ago with somebody in Houston, Texas, didn't we?
Well, yeah.
Not a week ago. Let's call it 2 weeks ago, three, whatever we call it. We just saw the same thing. James Harden wore a fat suit. he wore a fat suit to basically show everybody, hey, I want to get out of here so bad I look like I'm 30 pounds overweight.
Yeah.
And then when he got to where he wanted to be, all of a sudden, the 30 pounds was gone.
That was amazing.
This guy wore a fat suit to get out of where he was.
That might be the feat of the year. I don't care what else happens the rest of this year. The entire 11 months of the year, James Harden losing 30 pounds in like a day is the greatest accomplishment that could ever be done this year.
So if you want to poo-poo the Instagram thing, do that all you want. I mean, I know that like none of us really should care. In the long run, and it's funny, and it's, you know...
Oh, it's very funny.
It's fodder for us to make fun of, but these guys take it very seriously. This is only the tip of the iceberg, man. I'm telling you now. Just wait until you find more of Deshaun Watson's friends and more of his hangers-on, if you want to call them that, come out with some other bomb that they send to Adam Schefter or whomever, where Deshaun wants this, Deshaun wants that, which by all means... I guess this is like the time of the player in the National Football League. So if you can get out and sign the contract that you signed, great. Good for you.
Yeah, and that's what he seems to be on the path to doing. But the Instagram thing is so, to me, it's so small. It's so small. Like, it just, in the big scheme of things, the Schefter report is everything. Because it just confirms it all. That's all we're looking for. You have a good feeling anyway, because nobody's really disputing it. But... once you get the confirmation, it's like, okay, this is locked in. This is where it's going with Deshaun Watson. He's going to get himself out of town if he can. And for the Instagram thing to happen, it just shows how much people care about Instagram, I think, is really the biggest thing. More than like, oh my God, Deshaun Watson's really mad. We know he's really mad. We know why he's really mad. Because they told him they were going to include him in things, and they didn't. So Houston blew this. They blew it publicly, and now they're in a situation where a guy that could be a Hall of Famer, like a 25-year-old amazingly good quarterback, hates their guts and doesn't want to play there. So all of that stuff is a big problem. Instagram, in the grand scheme of things, doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything, but everybody's on Instagram, so it's like this massive deal. I think it's hysterical. Really, it's hilarious. So anyway, for everything to be so weird with Watson now and Houston, and you get this trade, and now you're seeing Stafford get swapped with Goff and all those picks, what does it mean for Deshaun Watson? What's he worth? And the biggest thing is that Jared Goff is the reason why there's so many picks in this deal. Jared Goff and his contract are a massive negative. The Rams don't believe in him, right? Because they were willing to give up Jared Goff and all of those picks to get Matthew Stafford, who Stafford's pretty good. He's pretty good. He's not all world. He's not one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Not really, when you're having that conversation. He's good. But they gave up two first-round picks and a third to get Jared Goff out of there. And by the way, that's also what it took the Lions to accept that deal from Jared Goff. So Goff's contract and his quality of play, it's not a good look. It's not a major investment. The few calls we've taken so far from Detroit and things that I've read, just social media and what on Instagram, where Deshaun Watson has changed his logo, it feels more like Jared Goff is a bridge quarterback. So there's no major belief in the guy. Deshaun Watson is the truth. That guy is the truth. So what's he worth? I don't know how much you can really take out of this deal. And that's the thing. It's easy to say that one is going to directly impact the other. I think Deshaun Watson's worth a couple of first-round picks. But his contract is worth the value. You're paying for a guy that is a young quarterback that's playing amazing football and worth a top-of-the-market deal. He's not overpaid. You're not worrying about the long-term risk of this. If you're going for Deshaun Watson, you know exactly what you're getting, and it's something that never exists in the NFL marketplace ever. Ever. You do not see guys like this. You are Drew Brees with injuries, and they've drafted Phillip Rivers, and they don't know what they're going to do, and I guess they'll go with Phillip Rivers. He's the younger guy. Sorry, Drew. You had a good year, but you're going to walk. That was what? 16 years ago? 15 years ago? That's a long time. And when that happened, Drew Brees was not Drew Brees. You had a good year, and you're like, oh, well, maybe he's figuring it out. And then he was with Sean Payton, and he was great. So to have a guy like Watson pop up now like this, he's worth whatever you give, where Goff was payment to take on the deal. That's a major difference. So will it be involved? Like when GMs are talking to each other, as they're having conversations about this, I guarantee you Goff has been brought up. It's probably been brought up in a text or a phone call tonight. Right? The second that deal gets done, you go, oh, crap, I got to go and call Houston. Right? Everybody was probably doing it. But how much does Goff actually factor into this? I don't think it's a lot. Because the contract's bad. Watson's worth it. It's a big difference. 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show. I'm Vince Quinn. Let's go to James in Detroit. James, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey, what's up, Vince? How you doing, man?
Doing good.
Hey, first and foremost, man, you, yourself, Amy, JR, Zach, you guys do an awesome job on the show, man. Just congratulate you for all your success, and thanks.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem, man. I'm going to get in debt just a little bit, man, a lifelong Detroit Lions fan, and I'm actually going to tie it all back up with a little bit of a Deshaun Watson discussion.
Okay.
So just follow me just a little bit, Vince.
All right.
All right, first and foremost, Brad Holmes is the man, okay? He went back to St. Louis. L.A. He went back to L.A. He took the water tank, the hot water tank. He took the cabinets. He took the doorknobs. He took everything on his way out, man. Not only did he get all of those picks, was not being mentioned this, the Rams are eating $15 million of Jared Goff's salary. So this year, he'll be making $10 million and not $25. Next year, he'll be making $20 million. And not 15, and not that 25. So I think that was an amazing job by Brad Holmes to get in the Rams to eat some of that salary.
So actually, we'll be saving ourselves, the Detroit Lions, $15 million this year and $20 million next year, because Stafford will be getting paid $40 million next year, and Goff will be getting paid $25 million. So kudos to him on that, man. That's an amazing job there. And he drove up the market, man. He drove up the market. Deshaun Watson's not going anywhere, man. You got two first-round picks and a third and a quarterback for Stafford. What do you think Houston's going to be asking for?
But the quarterback's a negative. That's the thing. The quarterback, you're giving the more picks because the quarterback's taking away from the value of the deal, right? Like, what do you, what do you think Jared Goff's going to be for the Lions? Do they think he's a long-term option, or is he a bridge guy?
You got three different scenarios, okay? You got a bridge scenario, okay? You got a let Jared Goff go scenario. You can easily trade him for a third round pick. You think Washington won't come calling? You think the Bears won't come calling if he's available?
They might.
The third option is he may can develop under Anthony Lynn. He may can develop under Dan Campbell. You know, Deuce Staley. They put a very, very, very good staff together. You never know. This guy's what, 25 years old, 26 years old?
Yeah, maybe, no, I think he's 26. But I don't know how much better he gets. It looks like he's gotten worse over the past 2 years.
Yeah, but maybe Sean McVay couldn't unlock something. Maybe Sean McVay's ego got in the way just a little bit too much. You think he's a boy wonder, a genius, and not really getting down to the true strengths of what Jared Goff can provide on the football field. Maybe Anthony Lynn could bring the best out of him. Or like I said, trade him away. Or you can package those picks that you just got. You can get a third from next year. You can get a first from next year. You can use our number 7 pick, move up to number 4, number 3, go get Justin Fields. Let him sit behind Jared Goff.
Well, getting a quarterback would be something that they should consider. And James, I got to run. I appreciate it, man. That was good stuff. But yeah, you could trade him, sure. I would consider a quarterback if you're picking at 6, somewhere in that 7. I'd look at a quarterback. Maybe Jared Goff is competing this year. Totally possible. So we'll see where the whole thing goes, but for now, I don't think this impacts Watson too much directly. If it was Stafford for picks straight up, that's a different conversation. But Goff's contract and his level of play is a major factor in what that final price was, and it meant more picks. So it's different. Now, if it's a Jimmy G trade, now maybe we're cooking a little bit. Maybe it's relevant. But we got a lot of things to talk about here. So 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show. I'm Vince Quinn. You can always hit me up on Twitter at It's Vince Quinn. Or you know what? Tweet Graceffo at No Game James CBS. He's like, no, don't. So that's your obligation now. You have to tweet Graceffo because he will be miserable. So No Game James CBS. That's No Game James CBS. All right, now it's just getting rude. So here's
what you're going to do. A joke artist.
Here's what we're going to do on the other side. We have some leaked audio of Nick Saban, and it's incredible. Keep it right here.
You're listening to The Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio. Listening to The Vince Quinn Show, weekend overnights on CBS Sports Radio.
And we have an unexpected slam from Jay Gruden. This is absolutely amazing. I need to share this. So Jay Gruden was the coach in Washington. He got fired, and he was asked because a member of Washington's front office was brought into Atlanta. So they ask him, Jay, what was it like working with this guy? His name's Kyle Smith. And Jay Gruden, quote, every year that I was there, we had a pretty good draft class with a couple exceptions. And Smith was really good about listening to the coaches because the coaches also did evaluations. When it came our time to pick, we'd always talk about the picks, where we'd like to go, what happens if the player is gone, and did all our scenarios. And then Dan Snyder would come in off his yacht and make the pick. It's awesome. What a great line. Just, and you can totally see it, too. You can see it. I mean, can you imagine how gutting that would be to spend all of that time? You know how much time it takes to evaluate a single player? One human being. Hours of your life. You're getting all the tape. You're watching it. You're dissecting the offenses or the schemes that they're in. You're figuring out, how could this guy fit with what we're doing? I wonder. Then you're placing calls. You're trying to get more information on a player. You're debating it with other people on your staff, making your draft board and ranking all these guys. And then Dan Snyder just whoop-a-doop-a-doo, just come on in here. And that guy. It's awful. It's awful, yeah. I've got all these lobster crumbs in my mouth. Let me shuffle those out of my mustache real quick. Dwayne Haskins sounds great. Yeah. Uh-huh. There we go. Let's get Dwayne Haskins. I couldn't think of anybody better. Seriously, that's what happened. He just strolled in. He's just like, yeah, it's Dwayne Haskins. All right, I'll see you later. It's crazy. That's the life of Washington. That's what it was.
Now, to be fair, if you listen to these guys, don't you think Jay Gruden might have a little bit of an axe to grind?
Oh, he totally does. Yes, 100%.
And by the way, if you do a deep dive into that draft, they wanted Daniel Jones. So it's not like, whatever they wanted was so much better.
Well, it is. And Daniel Jones
is better than being cut after a year plus in the league.
Yes,
okay, I'll give you that.
It's miles better.
Okay, great. Is it much better?
Yes, then Haskins it is. I'm telling you, Haskins has been a total catastrophe.
We can't agree that, the jury's out on Daniel Jones?
Well, the jury's out, but the jury being out is not a judge, juror, and execution, which is what we've had.
Yeah,
Haskins is
okay. I'll relent a little bit on that one.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, they wanted Daniel Jones. Let's not, say, all these options that they thought were so much better.
Yeah, you had, I think it was, Bill Polian, who came out and he's like, yeah, we were going to get Tom Brady. We were thinking about it. And it's like, all right, dude, he went in the sixth round. You were either getting him or you weren't,
We decided the first five, we couldn't pull the trigger.
Yeah, we thought he was a first round talent, but we thought we could get him in the seventh. It's like, all right. That kind of stuff happens, I feel like, all the time when guys talk about the draft.
Which,
it's great.
If you're Dre Gruden, what do you have to gain by, basically, throwing a dynamite stick at Daniel Snyder?
Oh, I think it's just a release.
Yeah.
I think it just feels good.
Okay.
Right?
I mean, I guess.
It's a terrible place.
You basically had to coordinate the offense for Gardner Minshew and Mike Glennon this year, so, he was under a lot of stress, I imagine.
Well, it wasn't an easy job for him this year. But
I really don't think he's working at the moment. I would have to double check that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's a new staff.
I don't think he's working at the moment. So I mean, if you're Jay Gruden, maybe you want to lay low.
No, I love it. I love it. Keep getting him, Jay. Get him, Jay. Show him what's what. I love seeing Dan Snyder get trashed.
I mean, it's a 180 now. I mean, he's basically let Ron Rivera run the show.
Well, yeah, but it's because of disasters like Dwayne Haskins.
Well, at least he's learned from the disasters. You want to give him some credit there?
Well, when it takes 25 years, no. And
all
lawsuits
right.
and whatever, no.
All
it
right.
does not. No, he does not deserve credit.
Playoff appearance, no.
7-9.
I mean, they won it.
They were 7-9.
They were the team that won it.
No, 7-9. I'm not doing it yet. If Ron Rivera builds something competent in the next 2 years here, okay, now I could start to be like, yeah, I whatever with Dan Snyder, he's changed as an owner. Then we can have that conversation. For now, I ain't having that conversation. I'm just not. I'm not giving him any credit.
The early returns, though,
Yeah, they're early. Let's say
fighting the cancer and everything, coming back from the back from the big cancer.
Rivera's great. Rivera's an amazing story, and for him to do what he's doing there is
incredible.
I mean,
we didn't know this, but he was making all the personnel moves too.
Yes. So, yeah, removing Dan Snyder from everything has solved their problems, which means Dan Snyder will inevitably get his hands back on this.
He deserves a little credit for stepping away and saying, I got to get somebody who actually, knows what they're doing in charge.
Well, yeah, but that happened with, Joe Gibbs round two, and I don't know, just the string of people that have come through that place. So until it's sustainable and he does it for multiple years, I don't believe the pattern's broken. That's all I'm saying. It's 1 year and we'll see. But I love Jay Gruden just coming out of nowhere and being like, yeah, we'd spend hundreds of hours prepping the draft and Dan Snyder coming in off his yacht.
What a savage quote from Jay Gruden.
It is, man. It's just...
I think it is exactly what you said. It's like I was just so fed up and I was just under so much stress. And you know what? I just got to let it out.
Yeah, it's just stone cold, dude. It's awesome. It's such a great line. So I love that. By the way, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. With every score change during Super Bowl 55, someone wins $50,000 in the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Squares sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free at rocketmortgagesquares.com. By the way, the line, let's see here. Super Bowl Squares sweepstakes. It's just a mouthful. So I'm trying here. Now, let's talk about the Hall of Fame, shall we? Because we are going to be living in a world for quite some time, and we already have been for quite some time, having all these debates about guys in the steroid era and whether or not these guys should get in. Clearly, baseball made a massive mess, and it is the sport as a whole and everybody that was running the sport for forever that allowed this rampant, unaccountable, steroid-filled culture. And that's the thing. If it was a year or two and people were starting to do it and it's like, oh, wow, well, some guys are doing this and they haven't been caught yet and we feel like we should just do it to keep up. And then it gets quashed. Like, you're having all these things now with the Astros and the Red Sox and... all those different scandals with baseball and technology. They're finding out about these things. They're quashing these things. They're maybe not doing it as well as you'd like, but they're addressing the problem, and now hopefully it won't be as widespread and ridiculous. But for steroids, they let that go on for forever. So when it goes on for, 10, 15 years, when it's going on for quite some time and you don't do anything about it, I can't blame guys for using, because once it gets to a point where, hey, you're going to hit the open market, you want to get a contract, well, do you want to get paid? Do you want to get paid like the other guys, more than the other guys? Well, you're going to have to use steroids more likely than not to be in that conversation and make more money. So I get why guys did that. We will debate about it for forever. I would let some guys from that era in because you just know what the era is and you accept it. And it was a baseball thing, and they're a part of the game. And they were great players in their own right. So some of these guys I would put in. But the bigger issue, and this is the fascinating one, because, again, the steroids thing has been talked a million different ways. You might hate my take. You might agree with it. Whatever. We'll talk about it in circles for decades. But Curt Schilling not getting in and then asking for his name to be removed from the ballot next year is a big time case here, because the whole thing, I don't know if it's not directly political, right? It's not like Curt Schilling is a Republican. We can't have Curt Schilling in the Hall of Fame. That's not what this is. But Curt Schilling's been connected to the, extremes of the right wing, if you will. And you look through his history, it's not just recent opinions of Curt Schilling. This has been going on for quite some time. He's been on the fringes of political and social discourse. So when you got a guy that's out there, is it fair to have a conversation about whether or not the person is a Hall of Famer based on their opinions of things outside of the sport, based on things away from the game? Because it's the Hall of Fame. It's the Baseball Hall of Fame. How is he as a baseball player? Is he one of the best baseball players that ever lived? Yes, he is. You look at his career and what he did and the titles, the iconic moments. Curt Schilling was a great pitcher that on his merits as a player deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. For writers to come around and say, we're not going to let Curt Schilling in based on the guy. Generally, this rule of thumb for me is I don't like that. Rule of thumb is you don't like a guy all that much. He's, you know, gruff personality. He's nasty to the media or whatever. He's curmudgeon-y. He had a problem, a personal problem or two, which a lot of great athletes do. Let's be honest. A lot of great athletes have had bad moments, publicized issues. Does that keep them out of the Hall of Fame? For me, no, it doesn't. But Curt Schilling is a case worth talking about. And it is a case where it's out there enough that you do have to have the conversation, and it is fair for baseball writers and people with the Hall of Fame to go, is Curt Schilling somebody that we want to endorse for the sport, for the Hall of Fame? Knowing the stances that he has, is it fair for the writers to say, we're not interested, we do not want to endorse this guy? I think it is. I think it's fair for them to do that. Whether or not he should get in, honestly, I haven't looked that deep into it to say factually that he should or shouldn't. And I'm glad I don't have to make the decision. Because when you're making it personal, and the whole thing is supposed to be about the sport, it's a bad place to be. But Curt Schilling is not just one controversial tweet 15 years ago or something like that. Like, Curt Schilling has regularly popped up in the news for different things that he said or done. And so, given that, if they don't want to have him in, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. You don't want to do this all the time. And that's the thing. I know the slippery slopes and all that different stuff, but extreme cases, you can't have it that personality and the man doesn't matter at all. I mean, to what degree do you go, right? Because that's the other side of it too. How extreme is there something? What is the most offensive thing that you can think of? If somebody espoused that offensive mentality, that offensive belief, this misguided, judgmental, ignorant, whatever it might be, whatever bad opinion you can think of, whatever the worst thing is on your mind, do you put somebody in the Hall of Fame even if they believe that, right? Like, probably no. I think that's a pretty easy no for basically everybody. So there are ways, there are limits of what a person can say to represent a sport. So I don't blame them for having the conversation, for having problems with Curt Schilling. I get it. It's somebody that you should have a conversation about. And for the voters to make this something that, as of now, they've decided it's just not enough. He's been really close. And that's a testament in part to how great a player he was. He's this close, right? Like, that's the thing. We know he's this close, but for them to not vote him in, I'm okay with that. To do it on personal character, I'm okay with that. Because on some level, the personality, the person does matter. But like Terrell Owens, for example, he got held up for a year. That was garbage, okay? That guy, for all of his problems, what were they? He got in issues with teammates, and he wasn't always the best teammate. But that guy was undoubtedly one of the best players to ever play the game. And he wasn't committing crimes. He wasn't spouting all sorts of terrible hate speech for decades or anything. And I'm not saying Curt Schilling necessarily is. But for T.O., he got held up for personality for a year, and that was junk. For Curt Schilling, I think it's a fair conversation to have. Personality, to some extent, does matter. You're representing the Hall. You're representing the sport. So I'm okay with it. I'm okay with them to reject him based on his personality. 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show. 855-212-4227. So that being said, here's what I want to do next. Is Matthew Stafford, he gets dealt. Jared Goff goes to the Lions. Stafford goes to the Rams. If they're going to get the most out of Matthew Stafford, which big time move, and it's been described multiple times tonight as desperate. How do you get the most out of this desperate move? How do you get the most out of Stafford? We're going to talk about that next. Keep it right here.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
When MLB talent takes the field, reactions get loud.
Aaron Judge with a blast.
Oh, my God.
Full scheme.
Struck him out with 102.
Laser beam. Ooh,
Tommy.
Walk off, baby. This is the best.
Witness baseball greatness for yourself at the ballpark. Baseball is something else.
Yes!
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.